in connection with our reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, it is now my pleasure to call upon our brother Steve Petrow of the East Toronto, the Toronto West Ecclesia, to give us words of exhortation.
Thank you for that. Well, good morning, my brothers, sisters, young people, and interested friends. It truly is a privilege for me to be here with you once again this morning. As we collectively come together as one body in Christ, as our Lord tarries this morning. A while back, during one of our brothers' Wednesday night Bible classes based on the epistles of Peter, there came up a word to me that seemed peculiar. It is a Greek word that is still used in modern Greek conversation today, and though it's not a 50-cent word, now, a 50-cent word, most of you probably know, I think many may not know, so I'll just be quick. It's a word that is complicated. It's not used that much. It's kind of the higher types use it. So a 50-cent word is one I wouldn't know. A lot of Greek words are 50-cent words that are unfamiliar to me. But this one was familiar, and I'd give it about a 40-cent rating. So it is a complex word, but not quite 50 cents. And it, as you'll see in a moment, it's used selectively because it has a special meaning. The peculiarity arose for me because the translation given in Scripture, even the one that Strong's gives in the Concordance, is rather different from the one in the modern day Greek. Now it is true, and I mentioned this in the other classes, that words can evolve in time. That is, the meaning can evolve over time. But I honestly do feel that this word, even back then, carried a more refined meaning than what the translators give it credit for. So this led me to ask a question: can there be an exhortation for us from one Greek word? And in this case, this special Greek word for that the verdict was not out for. Now the word in question is in the Greek peripisis. That's the noun, and in the verb form it's peripume. And if you're interested, the Strong's numbers are 4046 and 4047. Now, in totality, these words occur only 8 times in the Greek New Testament scriptures. So that in itself gives us a bit of a clue that it's a special word. So I did a little digging, and I managed to answer my question with a resounding yes, that there can be exhortation from one Greek word, and more importantly for me and for us here, exhortation can be found even from that one Greek word in question. So, as you've probably already surmised, we're going back to the Greek one last time, okay? Now, in the reading we had, 1 Peter 2, this is where the word occurred, and that's how we had that reading. So if you can open there. First Peter 2, and the word in question occurs at verse 9, as many of you may have come up with from the title of the talk. And just as a note, this is the last time in Scripture that we get this word. Peter writes to the Ecclesias, and I'm going to read here just from the NIV. It reads, "But you are a chosen people." Of course, Peter's writing to the Ecclesias here. So, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light." And of course, darkness and light are here again, but we're going to leave that. We're going to look at another word now. So, there's a phrase in that verse, "a people belonging to God." And in the Greek, "a people belonging to God" contains 3 words, only 3 words. And if I translate it literally, it is "people for peripisis," and that's the word we're looking at. Here in the NIV, the words "to God" are put in as inference only. They are not present in the original text. And if we look at the AV or the King James, it seems to have only 3 words, and in its funny old way, so to speak, it probably comes the closest to getting it right. It reads "a peculiar people." And those of you with RSVs, it will read "God's own people" with a footnote leading to a different translation, "a people for His possession." And I recall that Wednesday night, there was another translation that read, a purchased people. So by inference then, it would appear that the translators in the various translations feel the meaning for this word is, can be belonging to, peculiar, own, possession, and purchase. So kind of a wide array. And indeed, if you consult Strong's, it'll give you peculiar, purchased, possession. Most of the times the word is translated as possession, sometimes as purchased or acquired, and peculiar only in this one instance in the King James. Now, to verify that I wasn't losing my mind because I had not spent the last 30 years, or 30 some odd years, using this important Greek word improperly, I consulted a traditional modern Greek English dictionary just to verify the current meaning. I personally thought, before I went in and opened, that it meant, or at least I used it this way, that it meant deluxe treatment. Okay, very different from the translators, the way they've translated this word. I felt it meant deluxe treatment, or something around there. And lo to my relief, I was not very far off. So, for if you open a Greek English dictionary in any bookstore, you'll find that this word translates to kind treatment or good care. All right? Now you can see why I was perplexed, because the meanings look very different. The question is, can we reconcile the meanings? Is there a link? Can we make sense of why they seem to differ? Now I feel if we look at how the word was used, that we can make these two meanings come together. Now as an aside, before we start our investigation, I want to point out how the Greek dictionary didn't give a one-word equivalent for this word. The reason for that is that sometimes Greek words carry a rich, complex meaning that can't be described with one word. And it happens frequently in Scripture, and we saw that yesterday. It's likely this may be why Greek was used as the language. It truly has a lot of richness in the meanings of the words. And I don't think it's a coincidental thing. So let's begin the investigation. We'll try to see if we could push the modern-day meaning into Scripture. And so I thought we would do that by looking at the other Greek words that are used for possession and purchase. I reason that if other Greek words do exist for these, then it must be that a different meaning can be gleaned from this word peripesis that we're looking at. It probably does have a different intent. Because as I mentioned, Greek usually does not waste words. And would you know it, both possession and purchase do have other words that occur far more frequently than our word peripesis, which occurs very few times. So let us look at this word, this general word for possession. Turn with me and see how it's used. Let's turn to Luke 16 and verse 1. Luke 16 and verse 1. The NIV reads, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. There's that word, possessions. And I believe the RSV and the AV translate that as goods. That Greek word is the word υπάρχοντα. It's a totally different word. Strong's 5225. Υπάρχοντα. Let us look at a few more, just so you can get a feel for what that word means. Turn to Matthew 19 and verse 21. And again, I'll read from the NIV. It's a parable that Christ told. Matthew 19 and 21. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions. And here is that word again, υπάρχοντα, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And one last one to turn up for possessions. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3. We all know 1 Corinthians 13 is Paul's famous discourse on love. And again, from the NIV, at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13, this is the verb form. If I give all I possess, and there's that word, υπάρχοντα. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So we looked at three verses that have that word for possessions. And if we analyze that word, clearly it is used for physical, material possessions. Notice how this is not the word that Peter used to describe us in that letter that we read this morning. This is not how God views us. He does not view us as physical possessions worth monetary value. Because if he did, then the different word would have been used. Υπάρχοντα would have been used. So let's leave possession and we'll go to purchase and see what we can glean from that. And I know it probably feels like a Bible class. Just hang in there. There will be some exhortational value when all the pieces come together. So we'll look at two verses. Let's go back to Matthew 13. And verse 44, another parable from Christ. 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. This was the AV, of course, and that word buyeth is the one we are looking at, as buying and purchasing mean the same thing. This is, interestingly enough, the Greek word agorazo, Strong's 59. And it's taken from the Greek word agora. Agora being the noun, that's Strong's 58. Agorazo is Strong's 59. Now, those of you who have been to Manitoulin Bible Camp may be familiar with that word. Or at least might be familiar with it if I pronounce it the way they pronounce it there. Agora. All right? I was there a few years ago, and I think I drove them nuts when I would call it agora. They thought I was... But nonetheless, it is true. The way to pronounce it is agora. All right? Now, I didn't want to get them angry, but you can see the difference there when we anglicize the words again. Okay, as an aside, just... I know I'm getting off topic, but as an aside, it actually flattered me that the question and answer period. This is what the agora or the agora is at Manitoulin. It's a question and answer period. It's a tremendous time. And you could go and ask the speaker questions and they will answer as best as they can. And there's an open discussion. That was my favorite time. I didn't want to miss it. Even though there was swimming and all kinds of stuff you can do there, it's just a great thing to go and listen in on. Tremendous value. And it flattered me that they named it after... Well, they named it after the Greek marketplace, for that was what the agora was, the agora. It was a Greek, and it still is. It was a place where local merchants would bring their wares and their goods for sale, and that's why it got the agora means a place to buy and sell, and agorazo means to buy or purchase. However, and this still takes place in Greece even today, but something even more took place in Paul's day, and he took advantage of it. And I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn it up. In Acts 17 and 16, while Paul was in Athens, it writes, "Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who chanced to be there." Now that word marketplace is that word, agora. All right? Place to buy goods, but back then they used to have open discussion. And that's where Paul would make his statement. And the further proof of this, that Paul took advantage of that, just reading from the Acts, in verse 21, "Now the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new." And so how appropriate, again, for the Manitoulin session, that we have that to hear something new. Okay, so let's go back to the investigation. We will look at one more place where that word agorazo comes. 1 Corinthians 7 and 29, if you will. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 7 and 29. Paul writes, "I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as those that they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy..." Here's that word, "as though they had no goods." So that word buy is agorazo. And you can see again, it was to buy goods. You can see from all the examples that the word agorazo means to simply purchase or buy goods. Again, buying physical goods. So we saw that that just like the first word for possession, God doesn't view us as physical possessions, nor does God view us as something he can a physical thing to be purchased. Okay, so it would be then, now we're going to turn to that word peripesis. Having seen the other two words, how they imply a physical thing, this word peripesis must go further. Now, there are two more verses very similar to that first Peter verse we had in our reading, where that peripesis takes place. Turn with me to the Acts 20. This is another occurrence of that word. Acts 20 and 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Okay? Keep your finger there. Purchased with his own blood. And then Ephesians 1 and 13. Ephesians 1 and 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. There's that word again, God's possession. Okay? So in Peter we had a people for his possession. In Acts we were purchased and thus made a possession with or by his own blood. And in Ephesians we have the redemption of those who are God's possession. All these have that same Greek word used. But it must mean more than a simple purchasing, or agorazo would have been used. And it must mean more than a simple possession, or else ipárchonta would have been used. Furthermore, is it not that profound that we are... Furthermore, it is not that profound that we are God's possession, for is not the entire world his possession? God made the entire world, and the Bible verifies that God is free to do what he wills with the world. So if we put that all together, the special word, peripesis, must have a twist. It must go further. And I propose it does. It would make more sense if we combine the meaning that Strong's gives with the meaning in the modern day dictionary. If we do, we get to purchase or possess something with the intent of rendering kind treatment or good care to. So why is this more significant then, or more profound, one may ask? Well, let's look at what it's talking about. It is talking about you and I being God's and Christ's possessions, but not just simple material possessions. We are possessions that kind treatment and good care are being rendered to. We are special in a peculiar way, as the AV puts it, in God's eyes. Knowing this, that God regards us differently, the exhortation becomes obvious. If you and I, sinful creatures made of dust, who depend on God for our very next breath and can do nothing of our own accord, if we are regarded by God as possessions worthy of kind treatment and special care, what sort of people are we ought to be then? For the face of the planet is populated by billions and billions, and yes, these two are God's possessions, but only as simple possessions. Those that are called out to follow the truth and try to follow the truth, God views as special possessions, explaining why this pivotal Greek word is used. Knowing this, the initial reaction is one of flattery, but the kind of flattery that immediately produces a feeling of deep humility. Truly, we are not worthy of such a high calling. Yet, this is how God is describing us here in Scripture. This is something for all of us to ponder deep in our very souls. And you know, souls, that word is another word that occurs in conjunction with this word, peripesis. Before we look at the two passages where that word souls occurs, I'll just list for you the other occurrences that this word peripesis comes in at, for time does not permit for us to go through them all. And I'll read them for you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9 tells us of obtaining or peripising salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4 tells us of obtaining or peripising the glory. And 1 Timothy 3 and 13 tells that those who serve well as deacons gain or peripising a good standing for themselves. Note that salvation, glory, and good standing are intangibles. They're something that cannot be purchased. They are priceless, so to speak. And so the word peripising only occurs to describe intangible possessions. In other words, something that is not listed in dollars and cents. And that's why they're described as possessions that should be given kind treatment and good care to. They are higher possessions, greatly to be prized. God wants us to strive for these kinds of possessions. Those that cannot be touched by hand, those that have no monetary value. For these indeed are the weightier things in God's eyes. Are we striving for these kind of possessions in our life? Does value exist for us strictly in dollars and cents? Are we striving for the spiritual as priority? These are the questions this one Greek word makes us ask. And lastly, we come to the possession of our very life or soul. It is clear in the Bible that we must strive to possess the spiritual in order to save our souls and in contrast shun materialism. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. This is the first or the second occurrence, but we're going to look at it last. Hebrews 10 and 37. We're going to look at it first. Hebrews 10 and 37. For yet a little while, and the coming one shall come, and shall not tarry. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep, here's that word, peripising our soul. Okay? Note here that we are not to shrink back and thus be destroyed, but to have faith and keep, that word, peripisis. Remember yesterday, that word soul is psyche. In the Greek it says, peripisin psyche, so to keep our soul. We are to possess our soul. How? By having faith. By having faith, we are showing kind treatment and good care to our souls. Notice again, our very lives are invaluable. You can't place a value on your life. And that is why that special Greek word occurs and to describe here this how important keeping your soul is. Now, if I were to ask everyone here who in Scripture did shrink back and lose their soul, I would reckon that most of us would reply, Lot's wife. Is it not then very interesting that Lot's wife appears in the one remaining passage where this special Greek word occurs? Turn with me to Luke 17 and 32. And I'm going to read for you the literal Greek translation for full effect. Luke 17 and 32. This is Christ speaking. Remember the wife of Lot. Whoever seeks the life, the Greek word here is soul, of him to possess, there's that Greek word, peripisin, he will lose it. And whoever will lose it will give it life. I believe Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, must have had these words of our Lord in mind here in Luke when he wrote the passage in Hebrew in Hebrews 10, which we looked at previously. Lot's wife shrunk back. She looked back. Why? Because she just could not let go of all the possessions of her life in Sodom. Her life, her very soul, consisted of those things. She tried to possess her physical life at the expense of her spiritual life. She tried to show her physical possessions kind treatment and good care, while the spiritual things should have received such time and energy and love. The message is simple. We cannot try to make our earthly possessions compete on a level with our spiritual possessions. Lot's wife tried, but she lost her soul. If we strive to give our spiritual possessions the kind treatment and good care, look what our Lord tells us will happen. We will give our souls life. This is life eternal, of course, as Christ has promised. And so the message is clear. This one little Greek word tells us that we are to strive to possess the higher things and not the material ones. And by possessing, it implies possessing with the intent of rendering to them kind treatment and good care. This is the same kind treatment and good care that God through Christ showed us. As we pass the bread and the wine from hand to hand, let us all remember how Christ gave His life for us. There could be no higher treatment than that.